How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
WBEZ's nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Whether you are a season ticket holder or just dipping a toe into the world of theater, Chicago is a great place to check out shows. And May is bringing some big-name actors to Chicago stages, a spotlight on local playwrights, and some world premieres of work. I sat down with WBEZ's theater reporter Mike Davis for more insight into what to check out this month. And Mike starts with Jason Alexander, who's best known for his role as George Costanza in Seinfeld. He's in town at the Chicago Shakespeare Theater for his role in Judgment Day. Here's Mike.
I loved it. I don't want to call anybody out, especially not our Sun-Times partners over there who hated it for some weird reason. I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. I'm a big Seinfeld fan.
Me too.
You put me George too. Costanza in front of me. Hijinks, antics.
I'm sold.
Yes, I laughed the whole time. The people around me laughed so much that I would miss some of the dialogue.
So it's a comedy? It's meant to be funny?
It's a comedy. It's hilarious. I mean, yes, morality. He is trying to make it into heaven. He is a despicable human being, by the way.
Okay.
But he comes around, he gets better. And just the journey, it's so funny. But this is for adults, I should know.
Oh, okay. Well, I know what that means.
leave the kids at home.
I'm curious. I mean, you hinted at the critique of the play. I mean, what was the main criticism that you didn't see? Because you loved it.
Well, I loved it. I think that I loved it for the reason that it was criticized. I think it was that it felt sitcom-y. I think that was a big criticism, but I wanted it to feel.
But if I'm looking at George Costanza, yes, which he will forever be in my eyes, I kind of want a sitcom.
Yes, I think the rhythm of it might have thrown the reviewer off, and they might have felt like, oh, this feels like there's a laugh track. But I want to point out, there is no laugh track. Those laughs were real and authentic. You can't fake that in theater. Also, shout out to Jason Alexander for his comedic timing. Doing it on camera is easier because if you mess up, you just do it again.
Right.
And you can tell people back in those days when to laugh with the laugh track. This is live in our faces.
Absolutely.
He had to hit every beat. This is opening night. He's learning when we are going to laugh and when we are not. They have to slow down the pacing of all of that. Live comedy in this way is so hard to pull off, and they were flawless.
It takes a special skill for sure. All right, well, from Judgment Day, let's move on to Death Becomes Her. Ooh. So this one has some heavy hitters, Mike, including a member from, dare I say, my favorite girl group ever, Destiny's Child.
Michelle, can you handle it? Let me not sing. Let me not sing, but yes, Michelle Williams is going to be in this production. I am a journalist, not a performer, for that reason.
Keep your day job.
Yes, but no, I'm so excited. I mean, I don't want to date myself, but for those of us 90s babies, I'm sure you've seen Death Becomes Us on VHS, Goldie Hawn, Meryl Streep, Bruce Willis. And now it's becoming a musical. So I'm legitimately excited.
Oh, my goodness. I would love to see Michelle in that play. I was wondering what she'd been doing these days.
It turns out
we're seeing Kelly do some acting, right?
Yes. And now Michelle, too. So I'm excited.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on now to Turret. This one stars Michael Shannon, who is known for his character acting and his role in the 2017 film The Shape of Water. And now you note in your preview, Mike, that the theater is describing Turret as a, quote, claustrophobic carnival of carnage. A lot of C's there. What is that?
Love the alliteration, but it's True. So claustrophobic because it's a dystopian future. There's a war. We're seeing the last survivors, and they're literally in a bunker. Like, it takes place. This whole play is encapsulated in this bunker carnival. There's music to it. I won't spoil it, but there you get that sound. And then there's carnage. There's violence. This it gets violent. So that is the perfect description for what you will actually see.
Sounds like a lot. I mean, and this is the world premiere of this play. It's also been getting a lot of buzz. So, I mean, given the description you just gave, what do you think is resonating with the audiences?
I mean, Michael Shannon is a great actor. He's a character actor as well. White Death and Bullet Train, that was fun. Just seeing that on Netflix the other night. He's a character, but also the chemistry that you see on stage between the actors, so good. The acting in this play is so good.
I love that. That's perfect. That's enough for me to go check it out for sure.
WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. Inspire change. Shape the future.
This next one is presented by a Red Orchid Theater. So here's Shannon in a recent interview on WGN commenting on what Red Orchid means to him.
I started there when I was still an adolescent, you know, and I feel like I owe a lot to the theater, that I learned so much there, working there, and met so many incredible artists. And I just want the theater to stick around.
Love that support.
Yes.
Turrets written by a local playwright.
Yes.
Is that right?
Levi Holloway. I think that connects to your last point. Like, why does this connect to audiences?
Yeah.
Because this is an ensemble. Like, he wrote these characters for these actors. Like, all of this was very intentional and really well put together, really well thought out. And it all, I mean, it's like taking puzzle pieces. It just really fit together. You can tell the chemistry was there.
Yes. Well thought out.
Yes.
So staying on the theme then of local playwrights, Nambi E. Kelly has a triple play on Chicago stages this month. So she is acting in Joe Turner's Come and Gone at the Goodman. And two plays that she wrote are being performed at the Lifeline and Court Theater. You got to sit down with her. Let's listen to a little bit of her reflecting on this moment.
It's literally a full circle moment. And when does that ever happen in life, right? Where you get to be in the play at the theater that set your soul on fire, that gave you your life's direction, path, purpose, and to be able to come back in the role that I loved as a little girl. When I watched Maddie, I was like, oh, I love her. I loved Maddie Campbell, and I wanted to be her. And now I get to.
You are her.
Those full circle moments give me chills,
yes.
Honestly. Really, really do. She also told you how doing all of this simultaneously is exhausting.
Yes. It's funny. I talked to her on the front end and I talked to her on the back end.
Was there a difference?
Oh, there was a big... Do you hear how energetic she sounded right there?
What was her energy like? Exactly.
That energy, it's down a notch, but... She's excited, and it is full circle, and her friends and family got to be there. She's from Chicago, and she talked about how she's back home, but she can't see anyone because she's acting, and it's a world premiere. She's writing pages as we speak, so it's like...
I can only imagine.
All she has time to do is work, and she's like, the only place that they can see her is in the theater, so you got to go see her, but she's blessed and she's happy, but she is busy. 18-hour days.
18-hour days. Oh, my goodness. You profiled her, and what sticks out to me, Mike, is how pretty much everyone who interacts with her, they wrote remarks on the complex characters that she creates. What does she credit that ability to?
She credited to her mother. Her mother was sick when she was growing up. She had a mental illness, and she would hear voices, and she would talk to those voices. And Nambi said that when she was a kid, she would hear that, and she would imagine what those voices would be saying back to her mom. And inadvertently, wow, she was studying character.
Oh, that's powerful.
Yeah, yes.
You are actually seeing the production Native Son that she wrote this weekend. So I want to hear what you're looking forward to from that performance.
Character. That, you know, Richard Wright.
I mean, she goes deep, it sounds like.
I mean, that's Bigger Thomas. Like, that's a very prolific character. But I also found it interesting. She grew up in the same neighborhood in which that story takes place. So when she's talking about the characters and everything that she's drawn out of that story, like she grew up there and she got to see those characters through the lens of a different generation. So I've read the book, but I'm excited to see her interpretation and what those characters looked like to her and how it manifests on stage.
We talked about a world premiere earlier, Mike. There's also a regional premiere on your list. It was presented by Shattered Globe Theater at Theater Wit. Yes. It's called Jump. Now, what struck you about this story of two sisters?
Just the ability of this playwright to tell us a story that was very traumatic, that didn't feel like, this is not trauma porn. This is not sadness for the sake of sadness. This was actually surprisingly funny.
I was going to say, is there comedic relief?
Yes, like there was a lot of lightness to it, but it's dealing with grief, it's dealing with love, with loss, trigger warning, suicide. Like, these are the themes that are being discussed here, but presented in a way, I don't want to call it palatable because I think that takes away, but just in a way of, I left that theater feeling like I seen a really, really good story. I left feeling good, even though the themes were so heavy, and I appreciated that.
Like, it uplifted you almost.
Yeah.
I love that. You're also going to see Prodigal Daughter. This one's by local playwright Joshua Allen.
Yeah.
You're seeing that this weekend. You've got a busy weekend coming up.
Yes.
You're coming out with a full profile on Joshua Allen pretty soon. But can you give us a little taste of what we can expect?
He's a character. He's funny. He made me laugh. Like, being with him made me laugh. He told me about, you know, he's from the South Side. He told me about some of his family members, and he's painting this picture that I can't wait to give to everyone else. I don't want to give it away, but he's a writer's writer. You know, he wrote for Empire. He's also doing this on stage. It's a very Chicago story. He's pulling elements from his life. This is going to be fun.
Yeah. Well, you have some offbeat shows to tell us about, too. I want to squeeze those in before I let you go. What is playwright Larissa Fasthorse setting out to do? This was called The Thanksgiving Play?
The Thanksgiving Play,
in
yes.
May?
Yes. Well, I'm going to see it tomorrow. And, well, so Larissa Fasthorse is indigenous. She's native.
Mm-hmm.
And she says that, you know, she would write these plays that would get rejected because she would be told that, like, well, you know, all of these characters are native. So she flipped it on its head. She wrote a play with white characters that gives voice to the issues that she already wanted to talk about. So we're going to see four white people in a school trying to make a non-offensive play about Thanksgiving, you know, pilgrims, all that stuff.
That should be interesting.
That should be interesting. And it's a comedy. It's a comedy. So I am very interested to see how she was.
Get ready to laugh, Mike.
Yeah. That's a great premise.
Another world premiere, Poor People, the parody musical. How does this production weave into, it weaves songs and plot lines from classical musicals.
Oh,
is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah. This is the one.
Oh, I would love that.
So this is great. So upstairs at the Chopin, you got Turret. Downstairs, they're doing something wild. It's Annie and Oliver Twist, like all of the classic musicals that you can think of, all those Broadway shows, they parodied all of them. There's some time travel in there, a little science fiction.
Right.
They are uplifting sex workers. There's so much ground that gets covered here through song, through dance, through comedy. The crowd was in it. I had so much fun.
I can't wait to read your next profile. But you know, final question to you. A lot of folks, I think, they tend to gravitate toward material that they're familiar with, you know, even when they go to the theater, like seeing Shakespeare plays over a new play by a contemporary, you know, local playwright. What do you think is the draw for that over that new original material over the familiar?
I think the new original material is giving you things that are happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
These are playwrights that are reflecting to things that are happening today. So like we talked about Turret, and that's a local playwright. He wrote that play in 2020. He's in a pandemic. His father just died. His son was just born.
Yeah.
And it's a sketch of his own masculinity and how he deals with that relationship of loss of a dad and a son. But that's now. So you're seeing, right? So we know everything that happened yesteryear, but these new works are giving us contemporary issues.
Yeah, I love that. And that's Mike Davis, theater reporter for WBEZ. Thanks again.
Thanks for having me.
This episode of The Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Brenda Ruiz. To stay up to date with the stories and news in Chicago, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and head over to wbez.org/reset for a full archive of our interviews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.